Welcome to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast, where we ask today's most successful experts and entrepreneurs to share the most powerful lead generation and appointment setting tactics they use to build their business and grow their revenues. Now your host from the city that never sleeps, New York, is Kwesi Sachijinai.
All right, everyone. Thanks so much for joining the conversation today. My name is Kwesi Sachijinai, and my guest today is Chelsea Pendock. Chelsea is the founder and president of the NYC Marketing Resource Group. This is a group of highly networked and skilled vetted entrepreneurs covering a wide array of marketing capabilities. Chelsea is an award-winning media planner and the co-founder of Innovating Advertising. She has an amazing background in local and national advertising, especially when it comes to sales, and she's using that insider's perspective to help a lot of her clients to maximize the advertising exposure. She also currently serves on the board of directors for the Childhood Cancer Society and is a member of the Women's President Organization. So Chelsea, thanks so much for joining this conversation. Really looking forward to it before we started.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kwesi, for having me on your show.
Sure. And I know we first connected when Jubur, who is also part of your group and has been on the podcast as well, he invited me as a guest to one of your meetings. And one of the many things that struck me about your group is how well organized everyone is and super generous. Like everyone was passing on business ideas, referrals, and ultimately getting each other a lot of appointments. I want us to delve into, you know, practically how you run the group and, you know, what are some of the benefits and so on. But before we do that, I'm just curious, where were you at with your business before you started the group, and why did you start?
That's a great question. Well, when I first launched my company, I was leaving the corporate world of advertising and I was starting up my own advertising agency. And I started out working with smaller clients and gradually started working with bigger clients. But before I could actually work with the bigger clients, I realized that clients need a lot more than just my media buying services. So, for example, when a client comes to me and they say, hey, I'd like you to make a media plan for me because I want to see my ads on television, or I want to have a digital campaign, a TV campaign, and a radio campaign. Well, to make all of those things possible, I can certainly do the strategy and the planning and negotiating to get the client good rates on my side, but I need to have a commercial to air first. So instead of sending a client out on their own to try to discover who's good at creating a commercial, where can they get the best price, I decided to form a network of all of my own colleagues who I can confidently recommend to my clients as a resource for them. So now what I did was I did a lot of networking as I started my business, and particularly networking within the marketing field. And that's where I met a lot of professionals that are the best at what they do. And so I met with each of them multiple times and really got a feel, a good understanding for how they operate their business, what their pricing is, how they are as communicators. And then I sort of pick and chose the people that I thought would be great to start the networking group. And that's how we started. So the group initially started with about 5 to 10 people from any given time within the first few months of inception, which was 2013. And now today we have 20 members. Each member is an expert in their unique niche within the marketing umbrella. So it's really great. It's wonderful to have just this group of people that I can rely on that will ultimately, we can all help each other in achieving our clients' campaign goals.
Now, I know this is New York City. There's so many talented people in the marketing ecosystem. So when you started picking and choosing people, what qualities or criteria were you looking for?
Well, first and foremost, I want to make sure that they're pleasant to work with. I also want to make sure that I like their pricing structure and that it's you know, everyone has their own different pricing models within their company, and that's totally fine because some clients, you know, can afford a bigger price point. Some clients are looking for someone a little more cost efficient. So I'd like to just get an understanding for what that price point is so I know how to effectively match them with which client. For example, there's several different types of video production agencies out there. And some of them have commercials that are starting around $100,000 just to produce a 30-second spot. And then there's other companies out there that have, they'll produce a TV commercial for a client for $5,000. So it's good to sort of know what kind of range you're getting into so that you can effectively refer someone business. If I have a client that only has a budget of $20,000 for a TV commercial, then I'm not going to introduce them to that $100,000 video production company. I'll introduce them to the one that I know has great quality work and they can accommodate that price point. So the price point had a lot to do with it, but mostly it was, I would say how they are as a person, like if they seem like someone I would really like to get to know and I would like to, I'd be okay with referring them to somebody, and how they are as communicators too. You are essentially putting your own reputation on the line by doing so. So when I recommend someone, I want to know that they're taking care of the person I'm recommending them to. So they're going to be responsive, and I won't have to get a phone call a few days later from a client that said, "Hey, you know that guy you introduced me to? I never really heard back from him." Well, that just kind of reflects poorly on me if that's the case. So I want to make sure that the people that I am referring will do a good job and I'm confident about it.
Fascinating. And I know also a lot of different, you know, professional organizations, associations. I've been fortunate to attend a couple of the meetings for example. I'm not going to mention any names, but a lot of the Pablo ones here that people do know. And how would you encourage people who at this point do not even have a mastermind or group that they belong to consider that? And if they really want to join, what are some of the factors that they should be looking out for? Now, I know you talked about what you are looking for, but if you want to flip the coin and, you know, you're joining a new group, what would you be looking out for?
Sure. You know, that is a really good question that everyone out there who's considering networking should really sit down and think about before they go out there and do it. Because there are so many, like you said, different networking groups out there. And it's kind of hard to choose, well, which one do you want to devote your time and money to? One of the things that I think is very important is, number one, your first impression with the group. When you walk in, did you feel very welcomed by those people in the room? Do they seem like they're very interested in getting to know you? Because that is how it's going to be when you're a member of that group. Is it going to be you giving all the referrals, or is it going to be a two-way street? There should be a welcoming vibe that you pay attention to first. Second would be, I guess, are those people in the room people that you could see yourself referring business to? Like, for example, I choose personally to network with marketing professionals. And the reason being because I'm fishing in the same waters as all of those marketing professionals. We all are dealing with clients who have a need for marketing, and that need involves many different areas of expertise to which I might fall into. So I know that when I'm meeting new clients and they have a need for other marketing, you know, different types of marketing, then I can confidently make referrals for people. And then those people can make referrals for me too. So for that synergy, that makes sense. If you are, however, going into a room that's just completely scattered with different professionals, for instance, maybe a dentist, a lawyer, a media buyer, a Mary Kay salesperson, you know, and so on, where the paths are and the circles are all over the place, there is a chance that you are probably going to need the services of someone in that group, or someone of your clients might. So maybe you can make a referral. But is it the best use of your time? Do you see those circles overlapping more so than a profession-specific group? You know, so those are all things to consider. Another consideration, too, is how often the frequency of the group meetings. I know my marketing group, we meet once a month, and that seems to work out very well for everyone.
I know groups don't meet every week.
There are some groups, right, that meet every week, and some of them meet at 7 a.m. And hey, if you're a morning person, more power to you. I'm personally not a morning that early of a morning person anyway. But once a week seems to be a little much. I think the other important part of networking is to allow yourself, if you think that this group, if you have a hunch that it might be a good group for you, you know, set a timeline for it. Like maybe give it a year and see if you've met some worthy, you know, members in that group that you'd consider your referral partners.
Right. Why a year? Can you do 6 months or
eight months? Whatever you want your timeline to be. My personal timeline is I give everything a year, a networking group a year. And, you know, if it works out within the year and I like it, I also feel like it takes time to get to know people too. So a year seems to be a good timeline for me, but for everyone, it's different on your own personal preference.
Right. So I want us to delve into some of the practical things you're using or ideas or tips, strategies you're using to run the group right now. And a lot of things that we do has to do with, you know, getting appointments, getting new business, sales, and so on. So how are you ensuring that, you know, if a person is a member of your group, they're consistently getting, you know, appointment or it's worth their time, like you mentioned earlier? And what are the systems you have in place?
Well, okay. So in our group, the motto is essentially quality over quantity when it comes to referrals. So we do have a goal in mind that, you know, we ask everybody, the rules of the group are to attend at least 10 out of 12 meetings a year, because number one, you can't really get to know people unless you see them. So, you know, out of sight, out of mind. So we prefer that you're in sight. And then when it comes to referrals, we usually say, like, you know, try to give at least 2 qualified leads to a group members throughout the year. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but what I will say is that qualified leads are like closed business, and they're hard to get. So we don't really hold that number as a firm number, because some people give out more and other people may give out less 1 year, but then the next year they all of a sudden have a lot more leads. So I think the way that we kind of ensure that members are seeing the value of the group really is we give every single member time in every meeting to have the spotlight where they can tell us all exactly what they do, clarify any questions anyone may have, and then tell us exactly who they're looking for. So for example, if I said, I really want to meet marketing directors at trade schools in the New York City area, any one of those trade schools that you see advertising in the subway, I want to meet them. Well, now people kind of know, like, okay, this is who Chelsea's really looking for. I wonder if I know anybody like that, or maybe I have a friend who knows someone like that. Sometimes you just throw it out there and you never know. Sometimes it goes unanswered, and other times someone says, hey, yeah, my buddy does that. I'll introduce you to him. So sometimes that happens, but then even when we're not meeting, people still think of other people for business and they'll send email introductions to each other. So that's another way. But I think the most important part in ensuring that my members of the group actually get business is I try to coach them a little bit on how to represent their business in their introduction, so that how to convey that their business is what it is and explain all the details to everyone so that we all have a clear understanding of what it is they do. Because if we don't have that clear understanding, then it's really impossible to be able to make a good introduction for them.
Right. And I want us to unpack on you know, the responsibility that the members do have. So if I understood correctly, you have to give two qualified leads to a member for 12 months at least.
Yeah.
So is it 2 by 30 or just 2 for the whole year?
Just 2 for the whole year.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Yeah, we do that not to pressure people, but also to let them know that, you know, it is quality over quantity.
Right.
Also, people don't have time to respond to a million leads every single week. So it has to be good ones, you know?
Right. And that was actually one of the questions I had. How do you deal with the pressure of, you know, I know people are somewhat scared to be part of groups because they feel they have this responsibility to every week you have to go in and give a lead. So you have a really fine way of dealing with that pressure. Could you speak more to that?
Yeah, sure. I think the way that I like to deal with that pressure is to kind of minimize that pressure, if that makes sense, because 2 in the course of 12 months is not as pressuring as if I told you, hey, we meet once a week at 7 a.m. and I need you to send out 2 leads each week. You know, you have to do that. Plus, you have to run your business too. And you have to meet with all the people that are introducing you to people. So that's a lot. So
right.
I think one of the ways that we do it is to reassure people and just remind them that it's quality over quantity leads. If you think of somebody and it makes sense, make that introduction. But it's not about, you know, an organic approach to networking, I think, is much more impactful than these rules and regulations that say you have to do things by a certain timeline. It's like, we're all here to help you earn more business. We're not here to make your life crazier.
Right. That's a good way to put it. So let's assume, you know, I come to you, I'm a business owner. I've been considering starting a group because I feel I can, you know, I can break together a kind of an ecosystem of people who can support the industry that I work with. What are the top, I don't know, 3 or 5 things that you have in mind that you would advise me on?
Okay. So if you were going to start your own mastermind.
That's right.
Okay. So, I mean, first and foremost, I would write down, what do you most often get requests for? Like, if clients come to you for your services and then they want to proceed, you know, they're now a paying client and now they have other needs, or they want to, you know, they want to meet other people. Who are those people that they're trying to meet with? Because that's probably someone you should have in your circle. And then from there, you want to find the best of the best of that type of person. So for example, let's just say that if it was a business coach, let's say that you were looking for, and I guess you would try to have to figure out, okay, well, there's like 20 coaches that I know, but which of those 20 would I actually want to spend time with and work with? Okay, so now you narrowed your list down to 10 people. And then you kind of have to look from those 10 people, okay, well, which one has a good price point? Which one aligns up directly with most of my clients? That kind of thing. And, you know, honestly, it takes time. When you first build your group, it's not going to be perfect. At first, you might just be filling a seat that you know you have a need for. But that's when you start to incorporate the rules and policies of the group so that way you can make better decisions about who you bring into the group and who gets to stay in the group. And then over time, as the word spreads about your group, you're going to be able to be a little more choosy about who fills those seats. And, you know, now that, you know, I've been running my group now for 5 years and we've had members come and go, and you know what? It's just sort of like one of those things where we had a position open one time for a specific seat in the group, and we had 3 people fighting over that seat. Now, that's a great position to be in because it's like, okay, well, which of you wants to, you know, which of these do I like the best? And which of these mm-hmm. members do we want to have in the group? So, you know, I would say start out with the list. And then when you're doing your networking, keep people in mind. and then make the invitation to start out small, have a little meeting, and then just kind of build the group from there.
Awesome. This is so good. Where can people learn more about your work and your group and connect with you?
For the marketing group, they can check us out on the web. We're at www.nycmarketingresource.com. And if they want to learn more about my company, Innovision Advertising, that's innovisionadvertising.com.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Chelsea.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kwesi, for having me on the show.
Thank you for listening to the Art of Appointment Setting podcast with Kwesi Sachi-Jinai. Find out more about how to get high-value appointments at catalyze.io. And while you're there, check out the free resources for appointment setting. And be listening for the next episode of the Art of Appointment Setting podcast.